Well, everybody, welcome to episode 156 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk a lot of girls swimming today. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny's head coach along with one of the Hawkettes' top performers. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and he has been on the podcast a few times previously. He is Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Great to be here. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, hey, before we talk about the housing market, you know, let's talk some Iowa football. I know you're a big Hawkeye fan. You must have enjoyed that game on Saturday. Were you over there at Kinnick?
I was not. I actually had a better seat on my couch watching it from the TV, and it was an amazingly frightening game for most of the game.
It was. I actually was over there on the field. I had a photo pass, so it was a lot of fun to be in that atmosphere. But it was a long day. I mean, that makes for a long day to drive over there and tailgate a little bit.
I can't imagine how loud that place must have been.
It was nuts. It was crazy. When I left, I actually got a little bit of a headache. I think it was just from the noise and just the intensity of the game and everything. It's so crowded down the field, too, that, I mean, it's just kind of hard to get where you need to be. But it was fun, though. It was fun to be there.
It was a great game. And, that was an important one, you know. Not that the rest of them are give-me's by any stretch, but that was a big, big one.
Well, how surprised are you by what Iowa's done this year?
Well, you know, I'm always an optimist about Iowa football. I think a lot of Coach Ferentz, he's a great guy. He's had a lot of stability, and he's brought in a lot of good players and developed them into more than what other people thought they would be. And I think that's the case now. I mean, you look at some of the guys on the roster now that are outperforming what other recruiters thought maybe they had the capability to do. And it's just fun to watch that happen.
Well, what was your take on the controversy surrounding the Penn State injuries?
Well, you know, I think I would agree with the coach, you know. You look at it, and when you pull back, you look at the timing of all of that. Is it coincidental? It's possible it's coincidental, but there's a history of that, not just with Penn State, but, I mean, in sport, you know, trying to get an advantage or to keep your opponent from having an advantage. So,
sure.
I'll let that to smarter people figure out.
Well, yeah, I know a couple of those guys for Penn State. Yeah, well, they were legitimately hurt, but then a couple others, you know, that they limped off the field and then they're back in, you know, two plays later. And yeah, you can't tell me they were hurt. Too bad if they could do that. So.
Yeah.
Well, what are your expectations for Iowa the rest of the season? I mean, do you legitimately think they have a chance now to maybe play for the championship?
Certainly they do. I think their approach of one game at a time is the way that we have to look at this, and you don't look past anybody. Purdue can beat us, and we have to believe that, and we have to prepare for that and take one game at a time. If they do that and they take care of business, I think they have a legitimate shot to be Big Ten champions and to go on beyond that.
Well, I saw today where the Hawkeyes are currently tied for fifth with Cincinnati for the best odds to win the national championship at 25-1. You know, so that shows you right there that, you know, there are some skeptics still there because they are ranked second in the polls. But, like you said, if they keep taking it one game at a time, I mean, I think they can win the rest of their games.
Well, I think the reason the skeptics are there is because of the offense. You know, they're not putting 60 points up every week. They are doing just what needs to be done to win. And, so let them be skeptics all the way to the end.
Well, let's talk about the housing market now. You know, what's going on there?
Well, I think, you know, again, cautiously optimistic. It looks like we bottomed out as far as the low point of inventory in the first quarter. We've now had two quarters of growth. We've grown 25% off of that low. If we continue that pace for the fourth quarter, that's going to put us just about where we were back in the beginning of COVID. As I look beyond the numbers this morning a little bit, we had 2,250 houses on the market. Roughly half of those were newer proposed houses. That's pretty heavy to new construction. So You may go out and see an advertising for a house, drive out there, and it's just an empty lot. But, you know, it looks like we're starting to come back off of those lows.
Well, just a quick story for you. A friend of mine is trying to sell his house. He lives out in Southeast Ankeny, and he lives in a house that he said was built in 1860-something or other. I mean, that's got to be one of the oldest houses in Ankeny, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's when you look at your abstract for your house, most of the time on the first page, it starts in 1860s.
That's crazy. Well, hey, I know you also want to talk about the Home Show Expo for 2022. Well, you know, what's going on there? I'm sure the planning's underway.
Yeah, we talked about that last time. Kimberly Estates up on the northeast side of Ankeny is going to be the site of the 2022 Home Show Expo. If you drive out there, you'll see that there's already a couple of basements going in. Some builders have already stepped up. It's going to be a big show. It's going to be a really good show. The neighborhood itself is going to be full of just amazing homes. So I would encourage people just to drive out there, take a look at it. We're going to be out there having open houses every Sunday from 1 to 4 now. We've got a spec home that is not finished, but it's finished enough for us to be out there on Sunday afternoon. So come on out, ask some questions. We'll tell you all about it.
And you told me the dates, I think, for the expo before, but what are they again?
Don't have them memorized. It's in July.
In July.
Of next year, yeah.
Okay. And also refresh my memory, what's the price range on these homes? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, for the development on the sign, we have homes starting at $600. Realistically, it's probably going to be a little bit more than that. There are going to be several homes that are going to be well over $1.5.
So these are obviously higher-end properties, right?
Yeah, they're going to be beautiful. They have landscaping requirements out there and lighting requirements so that when you drive into the neighborhood, you're going to have a sense that it's a really special place.
All right, Tom. Well, tell people again, you know, what's the best way for them to get a hold of if you have any questions?
Yeah, the best way is just to email me. It's just my name, tom@tombutler.com.
All right, Tom. Well, hey, I know you got a meeting to get to, so I'll let you go. But thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
It's always good to talk to you, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny girls swimming and diving team. She has guided the Hawkettes to a 5-3 dual record and a number 5 ranking. On Tuesday night, her team dropped a 114-72 decision to number 1 Waukee, but the Hawkettes still racked up a season-high 3,672 power points. She is Michelle Stout. Michelle, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Well, very good. Thank you, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, hey, before we talk about this year's team and the season that you're having, I just wanted to get some quick thoughts from you about the all-time girls swimming team that we published last week. I appreciate your input on that project, and I know I learned a few things along the way. You know, did that bring back some memories for you to think about, you know, some of the great swimmers that you've coached in the past?
Well, it did, and I mean, just really digging and actually kind of in my mind's eye, visualizing some of those kids in the water, at meets, in the stands, at practices. So just, you know, really bringing back, you know, the time I was able to spend with those great kids.
Well, of course, you've been the head coach now for about 14, 15 years. So, I mean, you've coached a lot of kids. So, I mean, if you're like me, you probably can't even remember everybody.
Well, you have to dig. It's there, but you do have to dig.
Well, one thing that I had forgotten was the year that you took over as head coach in 2007, that was the same year that Jaren Studer suffered an injury and she wasn't able to compete. Of course, Jaren was a 5-time state champion and she was named the co-captain of our team along with another 5-time champion, Jasmine Rumley. You know, but that was kind of a tough way for you to start out your tenure as a head coach, wasn't it?
You know, no doubt. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, Jaren would have surpassed that 5-time state champion. She was on track to repeat in the IM and the breast.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, you guys have had so many great swimmers over the years. You know, Jamie and Nikki Wieben were both tremendous sprinters and backstrokers. Julie Elwell was an outstanding distance swimmer way back in the 1980s, and I'm glad you called my attention to her. We wouldn't have wanted to leave her off the team. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, and one of the things that I struggled with a little bit, you know, is how to compare swimmers from different eras. Because you look at Nikki's times in 2004 when she won state titles in both the 50 and 100 freestyle, She had times of 24.35 and 52.99. And then you look at the times that Jasmine posted in recent years. You know, she set a state record in the 100 free in 2019 of 49.03. Mm-hmm. And then back when she was a sophomore, she swam an all-time Iowa best of 22.29 in the 50. You know, so those times were obviously much, you know, faster than what Nikki swam. But I know how great Nikki was against the competition, you know, that she faced. I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, does that just show how great Jasmine was? Or do you think there's some... something to the fact that, you know, like just the evolution of swimming and maybe some of the newer training methods that bring those times down?
Well, I think it's a multitude of factors. One is that, you know, we've seen an addition of a lot of great club teams, you know, across the metro area. So to develop some of that skill, I think we've gotten a lot smarter about training kids. And I think we've gotten way, way smarter on nutritional needs. To not only fuel them during tough practices, but how to bring out optimal performances during competition as well. So I think the nutritional, the training methods, maybe just some of the physicality of the kids as well. I mean, we're understanding the role of weight training and how important that is. You know, it used to be football. That was it. That was pretty much maybe a little bit of basketball, and primarily men and boys. And so now, we've seen the evolution of that too, in understanding the importance across all sports and, across the genders as well.
Well, I think records are meant to be broken too. I was talking with Dennis Wiebin one night at a football game, and he mentioned too, that the kids come up today. I mean, they see those records on the board, and they want to break them. So.
Well, absolutely. And I can remember when Alex Flatness broke, one of the Wiebin girls' records, and I ran into Jamie, just casually around town. And I said, oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened. And she was truly, truly happy to see that record broken and to see that the sport she truly loved and had, has a passion for, to see that still continue to grow.
Well, let's talk about this year's team now. I mentioned that you guys have a 5-3 record. In the last 2 weeks, you've lost to two of the state's best teams in Ames and Waukee, but you did set a new season high for power points in both of those meets. Mm-hmm. So even though you lost to both of those teams, it seemed like you were pretty happy with your team's performances.
Well, sure. And I mean, we talk a lot on the team about the only performance we can control is ours. We do our best, and we really can't control what the other team is doing, how they're performing, how they're behaving. So we focus more on what we want to accomplish, and whether whether the girl is just for a personal best, or maybe like for example last night, with Sophie Leffler, she wanted a state cut time in the 500. So I mean, at all levels, there's a way to perform at your best without worrying about who the competition is that night. And another thing we spend a lot of time talking about is when you swim great teams, you get better yourself. So they bring out, they show us in, no uncertain terms where we can improve. They also, give us a chance to bring out our best.
Well, last night you got a couple of wins from Alexis Henning in the 50 freestyle and the 100 backstroke. She's currently ranked 5th in the state in the backstroke and 16th in the 50 free. And she was one of the girls on your current squad who was also named to our all-time team. She seems to be poised to have a really strong finish to her career, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. And, it's been fun this season to see her grow in her confidence, too, and know that she's getting stronger and know that she's very good about analyzing her own performance and saying, here's what I can do better next time. So that self-analysis and, just that confidence has really been fun to watch this season.
Well, your other wins came from Carolyn Walker in the 100 butterfly, Anya Peck in the 100 breaststroke, and Erica Peters in the diving. Peck is currently ranked 10th in the breaststroke, and she's having another tremendous season both in the pool and in cross country, which is another sport that she also competes in during the fall. And I was talking with Centennial Girls cross country coach Eric Cogdill about how Anya manages her schedule last week. I'm not sure how she does it, but, she's really figured out how to excel in two sports in the same season, hasn't she?
She's just an outstanding athlete, no doubt about it. And, how she can manage that, I think all of us are just astounded by how well she manages not only her competition practices and schedules, but school and family obligations and trying to have some degree of, friendships and, everything that you want a high school aged kid to experience.
Well, I know Coach Cogdell mentioned that, you know, Anya's kind of in charge of her own schedule, but it seems like the schedules of the two sports, they do work out pretty well because a lot of your meets are on Tuesdays, maybe on Saturdays, and a lot of her meets or the cross-country meets are like on Thursdays. So it probably does work out pretty well, doesn't it?
Well, and you know, it's great because, you know, Coach Cogdell and I have, you know, have go back and forth a little bit and say, hey, what are your important days? What are your important meets? And, you know, we've really not ever had any conflicts in trying to help manage those, you know, like you said, it's worked out. You know, we had a meet that, you know, our girls love to go to, that was going to butt up against their Fort Dodge meet, and we just worked that out. And as it ended up, that meet got canceled.
That's over right.
At Southeast Polk. At Southeast Polk, and, you know, due to some pool problems they were having there.
Well, you guys are currently ranked fourth in the 200 medley relay, and Anya is a part of that unit. They posted a time of 150.87 last night. You have to feel really good about, you know, what that unit can accomplish, you know, here later in the season.
Yeah, that swim last night, I tell you what, I had to look up at the board more than once to say, they did what? What just happened there? It was just, you know, it takes all four girls. It takes all four. And the thing is if one of them are having a little bit of an off night, one of the other three is on to pick that right up. Pick up that time deficit up. And that's, you know, that it was just a great all aboard effort last night.
Well, your highest ranked athlete right now is in the diving, where Erica Peters is ranked second in both the six dive event and the 11 dive event. She's a three-time state qualifier in the event. Of course, last year she placed sixth overall. Now, you guys have had a state diving champion before. Sydney Jorgensen won the event 2 years ago. So do you feel like Erica, you know, has a chance to maybe be your next champ?
Yes, in no uncertain terms, yes.
Well, you guys have a diving meet on Saturday at Marshalltown, and then next week you'll go back to Marshalltown for the Iowa Conference meet. Now, I know Ames will probably be the favorite to win that meet, but what will you be hoping to accomplish at that meet? Are you still trying to figure out what your best lineup is for the postseason?
You know, I think we've zeroed in on the girls. There's still some flexibility, especially in some of the freestyle events, where some girls can move around. And the thing is that these girls are all agreeable to whatever's going to help the team. And they have, you know, we've had some really great discussions about that, about how can I help the team, and I'm willing to do whatever. And, I'll, you know, the kind of training we do will be prep for whichever direction we go for these girls.
Well, then on the first week of November, you'll be competing in a regional meet. Do you know when the regional sites are going to be announced?
I would guess that, you know, maybe by Friday or so, maybe this week, I would be expecting to see those shortly. You know, the first step is to announce the sites, and then the second step would be to announce your assignment site.
Right. Now, I know Anking's hosted before. Is there a chance that you guys could host?
Well, I'd hope so. Yeah, I'd hope so. We have a great pool and a great facility and a great site. And so, you know, I don't think anything's been announced yet, but of course, you know, that would be really a great advantage for our kids to be able to swim in their home pool.
All right. Now, the state meet is slated for November 12th and 13th at Marshalltown. Boy, you guys are going to be spending a lot of time at Marshalltown here in the next month, aren't you?
Right. And so, right, we had a dual meet there. And, you know, here's something that's just kind of worked out this year, is that right now Marshalltown High School is undergoing some renovations. And so their pool is currently closed, the high school pool. So then that means that our meets have all been at the state meet site at the YMCA there. So we'll see them in a dual meet. We'll see them at conference. We'll see them again at state. So we've been very fortunate to have really a lot of looks at that pool before it comes down to the state meet.
We guys placed seventh at last year's state meet, and you've now earned seven consecutive top 10 finishes. So I'm sure your goal at the very least will be to place in the top 10 again, but you guys are currently ranked fifth. I mean, do you feel like a top five finish is attainable?
You know, it really is. And if you look at the power rankings right now, that margin is so small from fifth to like eighth. Mm-hmm. It's just very, very small. So, I think that our power points, you know, it's just been an unusual year that they've continued to creep up. And that's just been, you know, something that's kind of atypical. You'll see, you know, a big surge at the beginning of the season. Then as we are trained and we're tired, you know, you kind of plateau. And then maybe they'll get, we'll have maybe another burst at, you know, somewhere near mid-season and kind of plateau there until the end when we hit our taper and really have our best performances.
We got an up-close look at both Ames and Waukee here in the last two meets. Now, Ames has won 9 of the last 11 state titles, but Waukee is currently ranked number one and is about 300 power points ahead of number two, Iowa City mm-hmm, West. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like Waukee then is going to be the team to beat? I mean, that's a pretty significant margin there in the power points.
You know, it is. And you know, anything can happen that day. And, you know, I think last year was a good example of that, where I think Waukee ended up third after going through the season. You know, anything can happen that day, or 2 days, I guess, with the prelims finals. So, you know, it's just that would seem to indicate, right? I mean, that's a pretty generous lead and a pretty cushy lead. And by looking just even at the individual standings, just the amount and the depth that they have, it would seem to be it's close to being a sealed deal, but anything can happen.
Oh, that's right. We've seen that happen many times before. Well, it should be a fun rest of the season. I'm looking forward to it. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Michelle.
All right. Thank you for having us.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior on the Ankeny squad, and she is one of the top divers in the state, as well as a talented breaststroker. She is Erica Peters. Erica, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, hey, you were one of the girls on the current team that was named to our all-time team, and I don't know if you read through that entire story. It was pretty long, but did you learn some things about the history of the program?
Yeah, I learned a lot. I saw a lot of swimmers that had been here a long time ago that I had never heard of, and it was really great to see them.
There's been a lot of good ones, hasn't there?
Yeah, there have been.
Well, of course, Ankeny has only had a diving program since 2017 when the Trail Point pool opened, so it hasn't been around that long. But you were selected to the Ankeny Fanatic second team. Your former teammate, Sydney Jorgensen, was the first team diver. Now, you were a sophomore when she won her state title in 2019. You know, did you learn a lot from watching her compete that season?
I learned a ton with her. She's really good. She always pushed us and had a great attitude to help us improve.
Now, I know both you and Sydney have a background in gymnastics, and that kind of made your transition to diving a little bit easier. Have you found that a lot of the divers that you compete against, are former gymnasts?
Yeah, quite a few. And if you look at some, especially at the top of the state, almost everyone has either tumbling or some type of gymnastics background because it translates really well to the diving boards.
Well, I mentioned earlier that you are currently ranked second in the state. You've won every competition that you have entered this season, with the exception of the Tiger Tanker Invitational on September 25th at Valley, where you finished second. So are you happy with the way that you've performed this season?
Yeah, I've been really happy. I've been able to try a few new dives, and I've been performing the other ones pretty well as well.
When you look at the rankings, Maddie Gloss of Pleasant Valley is ranked number one in the 6-dive event. Trista Thompson of Grinnell is ranked number one in the 11-dive event. I'm sure your goal is to win the state title, but who do you feel is going to be your biggest competition there?
I think Trista is probably one of my bigger competitions. I actually train with her at club, so we're able to see each other a lot and push each other a lot, and she's really improved this year. So we'll definitely be really close to each other, I think, in the state meet.
What would that mean to you if you can win a state title? Would that be kind of a dream come true for you?
Yes, it would. I would be so happy.
Now, I have a few questions about the diving event in particular that maybe some of our listeners may be wondering about as well. So when you compete in either the 6 or 11 dive event, are there a certain number of required dives that you have to do, or can you kind of pick most of the ones you want to do?
Yeah, so in the 6 dive meet, the first dive has to be what we call a voluntary dive. So it's a little bit easier. And then the other 5 dives are optional dives, which you can do harder dives. And then in the 11 dive event, you have 5 voluntary dives. And so there are 5 easier dives and 1 from each category. So there's 5 categories in diving. And then the other 6 are optional dives.
Gotcha. So then when you can do your own dives, do you tend to pick harder ones or do you opt for easier ones?
I generally like to do the harder ones. They tend to score higher. So that helps.
Well, I know you told me last year that your favorite dive was a front 2.5 tuck. Is that one of the required ones or is that one of the optional ones that you can do?
That's one of the optional ones.
Oh, okay. Is that still your favorite one then?
I think so.
Well, Erica, you're also a 3-time state qualifier in the breaststroke. Now, I don't think you've swam that event a whole lot this season, but do you think you can still qualify, for that event, to state as well?
So I'm actually not doing it at regionals, so I won't do it at state.
Oh, okay.
But I've still swam a little bit this season just to stay in shape, and I've enjoyed it. So.
Well, I know it is a little unusual for a diver to also compete in the swimming events. So when you're at a normal practice, and obviously if you're not swimming it this year, you probably don't practice it that much. But in the past when you have, how much time would you spend on each event, at practice?
So the practices are actually split up. So we have our swimming practice and then diving practice follows the swim practice. So I usually worked it out with the coaches, so I wasn't in the pool like 6 hours every day.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be a lot of time, wouldn't it? Well, you've been a part of three teams that have placed fourth, third, and seventh at the state meet. You know, what do you think this year's team is capable of?
I think we are capable of at least top five. We've had some really good freshmen come in this year that have shown some great performances, and I think that's really good for our team.
Well, you've seen both Ames and Waukee in your last two meets. You know, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Coach. Do you think Waukee is going to be the team to beat?
I think they're definitely the team to beat. They've got some really great swimmers this year, but I think they'll definitely have some competition up against them too.
Well, Erica, I'm going to finish up with you on this note. I was going to ask you about your future plans, but I see you're sitting here with a UNI t-shirt on, so I guess you committed to them, huh?
Yes, I did. I committed late last week. I really enjoyed all the coaches and the campus and all the team, so I'm really excited.
Well, congratulations. Did you look at a lot of different schools?
So I looked at a couple others, but UNI just felt like home compared to the others.
Now, I know Scout Bergwell's already up there. Did you talk to her about, you know, her experiences up there?
I have talked to her a little bit over the summer, and she really enjoyed it, and it just made me feel really happy.
Well, I guess your teammate, Maddie Carlton, is headed there as well, too, huh?
Yes, she is.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Erica, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. Enjoyed my conversations with Tom Butler, a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and then we had Ankeny girls swimming coach Michelle Stout on, along with standout diver Erica Peters. I really appreciate the time from all of those folks. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.